are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, Mike Giletto.
What up, what up?
What up, what up? Now, before we get into today's show, I'm here to let you guys know you can find us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, LastWordOnSports.com, and now Instagram.
Yeah.
We have a new Instagram.
We have a new Instagram account.
So, you know, just something else you can follow us on. And, you know, we'll post pictures when we're recording. We just put a story up mentioning that we were going live right now.
Yep.
So you can follow us over there.
We're everywhere.
That's at YWT Podcast also, right?
At YWT Podcast. Yep, correct.
Look at us picking a good name that we could get everywhere.
Exactly.
Look at that. There's no fan account yet.
No, not yet. Somebody's got to work on that.
All right. Now, I'm surprised Ben hasn't done it
yet.
All right. Now, before we get into, you know, as we get into today's show, we have a lot to talk about. The NFL draft was this weekend.
Yep.
The Phillies played some games. You want to talk about some basketball team. And then, as promised on last week's show, we have a look forward to the Philadelphia Flyers offseason.
Yep.
You know, what they're going to do with their contracts. And for the first time in a long time, Ron Hextall has some money to spend.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good thing.
Yep. All right. Now, let's get right into the NFL draft.
Yep.
The Eagles traded out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of expected them to.
Yeah, they don't need anything. Somebody, I think it was Stefan Wisniewski, tweeted that they were already stacked. They might as well trade back.
Right, exactly. I mean, you didn't have any picks in the second and third round. So they trade back. They go back to the second round. Then they also pick up another fourth for this year and then a second for next year.
Yeah, it's a great move.
Yeah.
You know, it's depth of draft picks over quality of draft picks. But when you have the number 32 pick, you know, you're not getting one of those premium picks anyway. So
right. And then, I mean, with the second that they got in the trade, they got somebody who people thought that they were going to take with 32. So they got their guy anyway in Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. And they've actually shown a pretty good track record in recent years of being able to trade back and still getting the guy they want.
Yeah.
So Dallas Goedert, welcome to the Philadelphia Eagles. Tight end out of South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Your boy talked about him on our special draft preview episode.
Oh, yeah, he raved about him a lot. That was the guy that he really wanted.
Yeah, and we got him. So, Nick, you called it, man.
Yeah.
So, shout out for that.
Yeah, he seemed like a really good player.
And then you saw who the Eagles sent up to announce that pick, right?
I did, yes.
Can we talk about the fact that David Akers cut the best promo in history?
Yeah. I mean, he's more popular now in Philly. Kelsey.
No, it's still Kelsey. Yeah. But I heard an interview with him. I think he was on WIP. And he said, you know, I was just kind of supposed to go up there and say go Birds or something like that. And then I decided that if they really start booing me, I'm going to let them have it.
Okay, so that wasn't scripted by any means?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't even think the team knew he was going to cut that kind of promo.
Because it was great, especially the fact that it was in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. And you could see that they were booing him before he even took the mic. Like, they recognized who he was. So I'll actually give Dallas fans a little bit of credit because, like, I wouldn't recognize their kicker out of uniform.
No.
You know, so the fact that they recognized him, started booing him, and you could see just a big old smile light up his face.
Yeah.
He knew how hated he was. He knew that the rivalry is real.
He enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, and he got up on the mic, and he let it rip.
Yeah.
He absolutely didn't hold back, and I love it.
Yeah. I love the line about, you know, last time you won a Super Bowl, these draft picks weren't even born yet.
Yeah. Although that was, to be honest, that was my second favorite interview out of Philly Sports this week.
Okay. What was the first?
Alex Lyon. Did you see that after the game last night?
No, I didn't.
he's talking to a reporter after the game on Saturday night, and they went into overtime and they won. It was a crazy game. There were multiple fights in the first period. Providence's goalie got benched after the first period because he punched Danik Martell in the head coming off the ice at the end of the first period. Yeah. After the game, Alex Lyon comes up and goes, you know, they're talking about the game and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, I want to say one more thing. You know, thanks to all these fans, like, holy bleep. And then he looked like a deer in headlights and went, oh, I'm sorry, and walked away. It was fantastic. I'll show it to you off the air.
Yeah, I'll have to see.
He forgot he was on TV for a second and dropped a big old F-bomb.
Okay, the F-bomb. You said holy beep, so I went the other way.
He went full-blown F-bomb and then realized he was on television, and it was pretty funny.
Hey, man, we've all been there, I guess, right?
Right. And we'll get into Alex Lyon's fate a little more as we move on to the show.
A little bit.
But the Eagles did have a couple more picks.
Yeah, but speaking of Dallas Goedert, did you see there's a GoFundMe page for him to change his first name? Yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
And he addressed it. He's like, you know, I think they're kind of serious.
Yeah, it seems like the guy is pretty good-natured about it. And
yeah.
So now, you know, in November, when somebody in Philly says Dallas sucks, we don't know if they're talking about the team or the player.
Right.
Either way, it's covered.
And maybe that'll be his nickname, Philly Goedert.
There you go. Anyway, in the fourth round, with the number 125 pick, the Eagles picked up Avante Maddox, cornerback out of Pittsburgh. And then not too long after, at number 130, out of Florida State, they picked up Josh Sweat, defensive end. What a great name for a football player.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And I hope he has some line mates named Blood and Tears.
Yeah, right.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Come on now.
I get it. But our boy Nick, the guy that we had on, you know, last week,
yeah.
he did tweet about Avante Maddox. He loves the pick. I mean, yeah. That's the guy he wanted in the fourth round.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a good move.
Yep. And then number 206 in the sixth round, Matt Pryor, an offensive tackle out of TCU.
Yeah, they needed offensive line depth. So.
And then they went a little off the grid in the seventh round.
Sure they did.
From South Sydney, Australia, they pick Jordan Mailata. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Yep, it sounds about right.
He's an offensive tackle. I don't know how he knows he's an offensive tackle.
He has zero football experience.
But his highlight reel is awesome.
Yeah, he's a rugby player. And he is a tank. I mean, it seems like a lot of the guys that he's playing against are a lot smaller than him.
I mean,
he just tanks these guys over.
Well, when I think rugby players, I think tough guys, but I don't think big guys. I wonder if maybe he'd be better. I wonder if maybe he'd be better off as like a blocking tight end.
Maybe.
And I wonder if they're going to try that with him in camp. Because he is explosive. He does have that good first step. I don't know if he's going to have the size to be an offensive tackle in the NFL. Like, he's a big guy, but he's not that big.
Yeah, but I mean, that position's also transformed in the NFL where it's not just big guys. Now you need a little bit of speed, which Mailata, if we're saying that right, you know, it seems like maybe he'll have the speed. I mean, again, it's seventh round pick.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not how expecting many times, a ton out of him.
No, how many times do these guys pan out to be something, you know, really successful?
No, and especially on a team as stacked as the Eagles are, you know,
right.
We have a pretty good offensive line. So if he's there, he's going to be pretty low on the depth chart.
Yeah, and that's assuming he even makes the roster.
Yeah, although the nice thing is if you keep him, he'll have flexibility because you can teach him all of the line positions.
Right.
So wherever your weaknesses are, you know, maybe you can teach him up and get him suited up for, you know, left tackle, right guard, center, left guard. You know what I mean? He doesn't have any preferences because he hasn't been playing the position since he was 5 years old.
Right.
So maybe you can teach him, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I could see him being on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And you know, just kind of work with him.
It's got some potential for a really feel-good story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'd be interested to see, you know, what the Eagles do with him.
Right.
I'm telling you, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a tight end.
Maybe.
Before too long.
They got Dallas Goedert, so, I mean, I don't know where Mailata would really, you know, slot in.
Yeah, but if he's your third or fourth tight end, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Because you did lose Burton and Celek this offseason.
Yes, you did. And you don't know how much longer. You know, maybe by the time Mailata can be something, you know, decent at a tight end, maybe, you know, Zach Ertz is on his way out.
Right, exactly. Like, you don't need something out of Mailata right now. They're going to sign him to a nice little deal. And if it takes him 2 full years to develop and play on the practice squad, that's fine. Because you do have Goddard and Ertz, you know, ahead of him on the depth chart anyway.
Right.
You know, and they'll probably end up picking up another tight end as a third tight end at some point this offseason, you know, in free agency. So there's definitely a ton of flexibility there. And I'm definitely excited to see how he plays in the preseason, at least, because he will get preseason time.
Yeah. Oh, they'll give him a look.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, if you guys haven't gotten a chance, go look at his highlight reel that they put out. Dude's mean.
He was in an interview, and because I'm reading an article right now, and they asked him something. it's something along the lines of like, yeah, I still have a lot to learn, but one thing that I do know about the team that drafted me
is they're Super Bowl champions. And that's all you need to know, man.
That's it.
If you're going to get drafted in the seventh round of the NFL draft, do you want to get drafted by anybody other than the world champs?
Exactly.
Especially if you don't have, you know, he didn't have a Corey Clement deal where he wanted to sign with his favorite team or, you know, his hometown team, or he didn't have that hope of, oh man, I really hope my favorite team picks me. He doesn't have a favorite team, probably. No. Like, I can't imagine he grew up watching too much American football.
Yeah, Clement's a different story because his favorite team was the Dallas Cowboys.
Whatever. But he's got a ring with the Eagles, so.
Exactly.
Deal with it.
But
guarantee the Eagles are his favorite team now.
And now, yeah, he plays for them and won a Super Bowl with them. And had four catches for 100 yards in said Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the Eagles have 10 picks in next year's draft.
Hey, just a friendly reminder that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Yep,
friendly reminder.
Like, it still hasn't really sunk in, and I know that's insane to say.
Yeah,
not for me, man.
Okay.
It's not gonna sink in until week one. I can already tell you.
Maybe when they hang the banner up there.
And maybe preseason week one when I see Eagles football and I realize, oh wait, the last time I watched Eagles football, they were winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Maybe it'll sink in then, but definitely week one when the banner goes up.
Yeah, but the Eagles have 10 picks in next year's draft. I mean, probably a little too early to start talking next year.
Yeah, it's way too early.
But I mean, that's. I mean, it's always...
You never know. Maybe they'll have the 32nd pick again.
Maybe. But, I mean, three of those picks will be in the top 64 at the worst.
Top two rounds.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 picks in the draft, including three in the top two rounds. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of... I think the Eagles front office has done a really good job of stacking up the team that we have now without expensing the future.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you still have a very young franchise quarterback. Your running back core is pretty young. You know, your tight end core just got a lot younger. Your defense is relatively young.
And you're going to get better just by, you know, getting back players that were injured, like a Carson Wentz.
Absolutely.
Like a Sidney Jones. I mean, you're better in those two spots. I mean, I understand the game and the playoffs that Nick Foles had, but he's not Carson Wentz.
No. No, and for the long-term future of this Philadelphia Eagles team, Carson Wentz is going to be a very, very good player.
Yeah.
We've seen it out of him already. And, you know, he's got a little bit of an injury history.
A little bit.
He's never had two back-to-back healthy seasons going back through high school. But it's all right.
Maybe this injury teaches him a thing about protecting his body more.
Yeah.
And not being, you know, being less susceptible to injury.
A friendly reminder that after he got hurt, he still threw a touchdown on a torn ACL.
Yes, he did.
He's up there with Sean Couturier in my book.
Yep.
All right, that's about it for Eagles talk. Philly's also played some games this week.
They did. Yeah, I was at one last week.
Yeah, you saw the worst one, I think.
I know, yeah. They lost 8-2.
You were there on Thursday.
Yeah, the game was over by, like, the first inning.
Yeah.
Basically, Lively, was it Lively? Yeah, it was Lively. He did not look good. The ball was getting hit all over the park. And yeah, I mean, it was 8-0 by like the third inning.
Man,
so.
You couldn't even line up an Arrieta game.
I know. Yeah, I had all from work. I wanted to see a day game.
Even a Nola game.
Yeah, I would have taken anybody other than Blake Lively. Ben Lively.
I was
going to
say, I doubt his name is Blake Lively.
I have my mind somewhere else.
That's the girl from One Tree Hill? What show was that?
I don't know. Gossip Girl?
Oh, I think it might have been Gossip Girl. Anyway.
Ben Lively.
Blake Lively is not a Major League Baseball pitcher.
No, I have my mind somewhere else, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. It was Gossip Girl.
Okay. Really looked that up?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to call you out on your 40-inch slips when you pull stuff like that. You know, you say Blake Lively, I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, okay.
My bad, Ben Lively. But he got hit all over the yard.
Yeah, you know, you definitely saw the worst Phillies game of the week. So, you know, again, we talked about this on last week's show. It's early enough in the season that you can't look at long trends.
Right.
So, you know, one bad week was preceded by two really good weeks. So, you know, I think they're going to be fine. I think they have the ship mostly righted.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is a streaky game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, they play Miami tonight, Monday. So that's a good team to get it going against. I mean, that's what happened. Isn't that who they played in the home opener?
I think so. But you know, either way, you know, you got to beat up on the bad teams. And I see some people complaining on Twitter about, oh, the Phillies are just beating up on bad teams. It's like, well, yeah, that's what decent teams do.
Right.
You know, if they're and they, that's, that, how you figure out where you are.
Yeah, that's inaccurate too, because they did sweep the Pirates, who at the time, it's too early to talk
right
standings, but at the time they were in first place in their division. Right. So,
but I mean,
and they swept them into four.
It was mostly before the Pirates series. People were talking about the Phillies just kind of beating up on bad teams, and that doesn't mean they're good.
Right, like the Rays and the right. Reds.
But
right.
at the same time, if you're not beating up on bad teams, then you're a bad team. So, you know, it's forward progress, and I think we've established that the Phillies have a long way to go. But I'm not super worried with where they're at right now.
Yeah.
You know, we have a ton of season left.
And a ton of season.
I'm going to win that bet, so I feel pretty good about it.
The over 81.5.
80.5.
80.5.
So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, not too much to talk about Phillies this week. It was, you know, it's just a normal week in mid to late April. So,
yeah,
you know. Moving on.
Yep. Moving right along.
So unless there's something you want to talk about, we can move into NHL we're doing talk.
It. Oh, okay. We're doing it. It's going to happen whether you like it or not at this point. So we have a good sports team in town that you seem to keep forgetting.
Yeah, we already talked about the Eagles.
That's right. The Eagles are Super Bowl champions, by the way.
Right.
But the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay.
Sure.
All right, so they won a series. They won a first-round series. Remember when they were up 3-1 and I said, you know, lock it up, they're done, they're moving on?
Yep.
And you said something along the lines of like, oh, it's done, right? And like, no, it's not done yet. Turned out it was done. They won the next game handily, 104-91.
Okay.
So, sure. And they only gave up 91 points.
Yeah, only.
I mean, you know, that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good number. You know, in today's NBA, when people are putting up, you know, 120.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about how much I dislike the NBA, so I'm really not going to harp on that.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, I just don't have too much to contribute here because it's not.
Well, anyway, game one.
I'd rather watch paint dry.
Okay, you're an idiot. Game one is tonight, Monday night. 8 o'clock against the rival, or at least used to be. Hopefully we can get into it again. But the rival, Boston Celtics.
Yeah, who's even on Boston these days?
Well, Boston's weird because, I mean, they had a decent season, but they have a couple guys that are hurt.
Yeah. Last time I paid attention, they had Paul Pierce.
That was a long time ago, right. Yes.
That's the last time I paid attention to the Boston Celtics.
That was a long time ago. But they have Gordon Hayward, who's hurt. And I mean, they're a good team, but they just have injuries. So the Sixers should take care of them, I think, in 5 or 6. That's my prediction. Sure. I almost said Eagles.
Sixers
in 5 or 6.
Just for fun, I'll pick Celtics in 6.
Okay, just because you want to.
I know literally nothing about it. I'm just kind of taking a shot in the dark. But everybody knows when you fill out your March Madness bracket, the person who doesn't watch any basketball at all always wins because they pick they just pick randomly and then they win. So, you know, maybe I'll get this one right. Just picking random shots in the dark here.
Yeah, but game one. Tonight, Monday night, and I'm expecting a nice physical, as much as physical as you know, physical as basketball can be.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm hoping to get back in the days of you know, the 80s and 90s of Sixers Celtics basketball.
Are the Sixers the home team in this series?
They're not, no.
No, good. Okay. Just because, you know, I got to drive past the Wells Fargo on my way home, so the fact that I don't have to deal with Sixers traffic is nice. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, no problem. But, yeah, the Celtics are home. And, yeah, I mean, it should be a good series.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you're not contributing anything here.
Sure. It's okay. We have a special guest lined up for next week, and I'm sure he's going to destroy me for that.
So. Who's that?
You know who our special guest is.
I know who it is, but I was hoping you'd tease it right here.
I mean, it's somebody that you know pretty well. And
I have known him for a while, I'd say.
There's a similarity to a previous guest we've had.
Okay, that's your tease?
Yeah, that's my tease. Okay. It's a similarity to a previous guest we've had.
Yep.
I think that's fair to say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be a different series because Boston, in the Miami series, Miami, the stadium was basically half empty. Like, sure. There wasn't many people there. Boston tonight's going to be, you know, rocking, going to be really loud. So that might give the Celtics some sort of advantage.
Well, I don't know Is Boston as excited about their basketball team as they are about their hockey team? Because right now the Bruins look good. We'll talk about that as about that a little more here in the second half of the show. But the Bruins are you know, up on Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, and they are.
I don't know how the city of Boston feels about basketball versus hockey.
I mean, I still think that the place will be filled. I mean, the game against Tampa is in Tampa, so.
Yeah, but I just mean in terms of attitude, you know.
Basketball is always going to be above hockey.
Okay, sure.
At least in the States. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, if you rank the sports, it goes, you know, football, basketball, baseball, then hockey, essentially.
No, that's valid.
That's just the way it goes, so I think Boston's going to be jacked up for the series.
I'm actually going to be really interested to see what the city of Las Vegas does when the Raiders move in. I'm talking among locals. I'm not talking about visiting fans, because visiting fans are going to be football, and that's fine. I'm talking about the Las Vegas locals, because a lot of Las Vegas locals have really taken to that hockey team.
I think it's going to be the same situation as the hockey team, where I think it'll matter depending on how good they are. I mean, nobody expected this from the Vegas Golden Knights.
But at the same time, their ticket prices were still high all year.
They were going to be, whether they were good or bad.
Right, even before we knew they were insane.
No, they were going to be either way.
Right, exactly.
But being good helps their case for building, you know, and establishing long-term fans.
Yeah, but I'm curious. You know,
that was a place to go. It was a tourist spot.
Right, and it's a different thing with the Raiders, because the Raiders do come with a fan base, right? Vegas started that fan base from zero with the Golden Knights.
Right.
Now, I don't think a ton of Raiders fans are moving from Oakland to Las Vegas.
No, but a lot might take the trip. I mean, it's not a super long, you know, drive.
Right. No, I'm sure there's going to be a contingent of Oakland-based season ticket holders who just drive to Vegas every weekend.
Right.
But I'm interested to see, in 5-10 years, I'm interested to see if they're a hockey town or a football town. You know, if they just have those two franchises.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, they could even get the NBA soon, so.
Yeah, okay, sure. you know how I feel about that.
Okay.
But
that's my prediction. Sixers in 5 or 6.
Yeah, and just because I can, I'll take the Celtics in 6.
Okay, so, just because you want to. Yep.
Just because I don't actually care, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, just watch a game tonight.
No.
Why not? Just watch it. Just give it a shot.
Because I would rather watch paint dry.
Okay. One, I know for a fact you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You're just staring at a wall.
You know what? I have been having a hard time sleeping, so maybe I'll put the game on and it'll knock me right out because it's so boring. That's great. Maybe I will do that. You know what? Maybe I'll use it as like an Advil PM and just knock out.
If you do watch it, you will get into it.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Just give it a shot.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to do that, but, you know.
You know, you keep having this front.
If I watch LeBron flop one more time, I'm going to gouge my eyes out.
Okay, that's a different argument than watching the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's the whole league.
But no, it's not. It's a dumb argument.
It's the whole league.
Nope.
Anyway, is there anything else you want to say about this?
No,
air quotes sports.
At least they're still playing. You know, they're not golfing like the Philadelphia Flyers.
And the Flyers expended.
They actually look interested.
The Flyers expended more energy in the first 2 weeks of the season than the Sixers have the whole season, and also the first round of the playoffs.
Nope.
So I mean, I'll continue to watch sports where the athletes are actually athletes.
Okay, move on.
So you know. Moving on, is there anything else you wanted to say about this?
No. Nope.
We do have a lot of Flyers talk.
We do have a lot of Flyers talk, so let's move on.
All right, we're going to move into the Flyers talk, and usually we have a transition segment, but Mike has decided to turn that into 7 or 6 minutes, so we're just going to jump right in. The season ended. We know that.
Like I've already told you.
And last week we did a little bit of a memorial on the season. Wednesday was locker room cleanout day. Thursday was kind of exit interviews. Some stuff was said, you know, Giroux said some stuff that was twist. The words were twisted. Hextall kind of doubled down on what Giroux said. If you guys haven't seen that by now, we'll talk about that in a minute. One of the most interesting things that Ron Hextall said on Thursday is that Matt Reed, Brandon Manning, and Johnny Oduya will not come back.
Is it, I mean, is it interesting though? I mean, I think we all saw that comment, right?
I think it's interesting that he said it this early. Like, I don't think that they were going to re-sign any of them. Maybe Matt Reed, maybe Brandon Manning.
Yeah, I think that Manning would have been the right one that I would have thought, but maybe fact, would stay.
The fact that he announced that 2 days after the season ended, in 3 days after the season ended, that's the part that surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, I expected to get that a week before, you know, free agency opens. Oh, hey, we're not going to re-sign these guys. They're going to hit the market.
I still want to see Radko Gudas far, far, far away from this hockey team.
Yeah, but he's locked up, so.
I know.
Yeah, I don't particularly think that you're losing anything by losing Reed or Manning, or especially Oduya, because he played like a shift and a half here.
Yeah, and he got burnt on the shift he played.
Right. He stepped on the ice, got burned, got hurt, never put a uniform on again.
Yeah, he's cooked.
Yeah, he's... If he's going to play NHL hockey, it's not going to be here.
No, I don't think he will. No, I just don't. He's too cooked. He's too old. He's too slow.
Right. He was, what, a waiver claim?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got him for free.
Right.
Essentially.
I like the move. It gave you a little bit of depth that you really didn't have.
you thought it gave you a little bit of depth.
Yeah. True.
Turns out it didn't at all. So the Flyers actually have a bunch of contracts that are expiring in the organization, you know, not just on the NHL roster, but throughout the organization.
Yeah.
The big one, I guess you would say, is Val Filppula.
I guess you would say it's a big one. I guess
you would say it's the big one. Well, just because he's got the most NHL experience.
Right.
And, you know, he's kind of the big name.
And he's apparently your 1C, so.
Right. And apparently he's also an alternate captain. So, yeah. Like, I mean, he's not the worst alternate captain the Flyers had this year.
I would be surprised if he's back.
See, and I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
Really?
And I don't want him to be. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between what I want them to do and what I think they're going to do.
Okay.
But I think they absolutely get him back next year. Because how many times this year did you hear the phrase glue guys?
Oh, no. Number one on their list should be signed John Tavares.
I disagree.
Why do you disagree?
Well, listen, let's run through the guys who are expiring before we go into who's available.
Well, so we're talking about, you know, signing Filppulas, and instead I'd rather have John Tavares.
Val Filppula is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. If he hits camp, or if he hits free agency, the Flyers have no right to re-sign him. Matt Reed, they've announced, is gone. Taylor Lear is a restricted free agent. Do you think they qualify him and send him to the market and see what his value is and then try to sign
him?
There
is no value for Taylor Lear.
I think he's got value somewhere.
No, he's got no value.
I'm not saying a lot.
He'll get a minor league two-way deal somewhere. He's not going to get a one-way deal in the NHL.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think he's young enough and has shown enough that somebody will throw him a qualifying offer. Like, I'm not saying this isn't a maximum, you know, try to steal Shea Weber away from the Nashville Predators type of situation. But
yeah, but he won't get an offer big enough to require compensation.
No.
So then what's the point of qualifying him? Just sign him to a two-way deal.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or let him walk, one or the other.
That's fair.
If you qualify him an offer, then
right,
that just doesn't make sense. Because he's not going to get a deal big enough to, you know, get compensation for him.
Right. No, I hear you. Johnny Oduya, they've announced, is gone. Brandon Manning, they've announced, is gone. Robert Hagg is at the end of his rookie deal, his entry-level contract.
Okay.
So I'm assuming he's going to get qualified, and then they're going to try to sign him.
Probably, yeah.
And you and I have had a little discussion about this off the air. I want them to lock Robert Hagg up for 4 or 5 years. Maybe 6.
I don't know, wouldn't go that far.
You want to give him a bridge deal?
Yeah, and I like to look at it from the point of view from both sides. Why would Robert Hagg sign a long-term deal? Just why?
I don't think it's a super long deal. I don't think they signed him to 8 years.
But still, why would he sign a 6 year? What incentive is there for him to sign a 6 year deal?
What's the downside? He hits the market 2 years earlier. What happens if he's continually misused and scratched and benched like he was for large portions of this year and his value doesn't
I wouldn't say that he was misused.
I think he was misused a little bit.
Your value of him is a lot higher than mine.
How about underutilized? Maybe not misused.
He wasn't great. Like, he was okay here in, you know, stretches of the season, but he was never great.
I don't think he made too many critical errors.
He was never great. He never turned the puck.
He got much better as the season went on.
He never turned the puck over a ton, but he wasn't great
until they sat him down the stretch. He led the league in hits.
It doesn't matter about leading the league in hits. It's an overrated stat.
It's a stat that matters. he also was fairly disciplined. For playing such a physical style, you would expect, especially out of a younger guy, you would expect a higher number of stupid penalties. The roughing or the boarding or the late hit or the interference. He was very, very well disciplined.
Yeah. But
like,
But why? What incentive does he have, you know, to sign a 6-year deal?
It's a little bit of security. Okay, say 4 years.
Maybe.
He's 22 now?
I'm 22 or 23.
So you still hit the market at 26 or 27, you can sign your big fat contract?
If I'm him, I know I didn't get a ton of, you know, NHL ice time. You know, I had an up and down season. If I'm him, I could sign for, you know, 1 or 2 year deal.
Well, it's going to be at least
prove yourself.
It's going to be the bridge deal.
Prove yourself.
He's not going to sign a 1 year deal because if he signs...
Why not?
Because after this year, because he's not unrestricted free agent eligible unless he signs two.
Okay.
So it's going to be a 2 year deal regardless because they're not going to sign him to a 1 year deal and then do this all over again next year.
Maybe.
And if you do that, you better extend him next year.
Right.
For a long time, not 1 year. At that point, you lock him up.
And then, I mean, so they should see what they have in him. You know, sign him to, you know, a 2 year deal. And then this way he can get the time under his belt. You can see what, you know, how he is and prove himself. And then he's going to want to get a long term deal after that. So. If I was him, I wouldn't even want a long-term deal, and I wouldn't do it in the Flyers' case either.
If I'm Ron Hextall, the deal I want is 4 years, $3 million a year. I'll give him that in a heartbeat.
But he wouldn't.
I think he would.
No, he wouldn't.
Okay, I mean...
I think he'll get around 2.5 to 3 if you give him...
I forgot you were best friends with Robert Hagg, and you know exactly what he's going to do.
Because I know how sports agents, you know, think.
It's not in hockey, though. Not as much.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Not as much.
Yes, it is.
All right, whatever.
But he could get that. He get 2.5 to 3 million if he signed a 2 year deal. So why would he get the same price for six?
Okay, then I'll go up to 3.5 for four. Yeah. I said 4 years. I didn't say six.
I thought you said six.
If you go up to 6 years, you probably have to pay him five. And I don't want to pay him five.
I wouldn't do that because he's not a $5 million player.
I understand. That's why I want to sign him 4 years, $3 million a year. I would do that in a heartbeat, and I think he would do it too.
Maybe.
And I think that's good value for both of them. And then he still gets to hit the free agent market unrestricted at 27 years old and can go make his big money if there's big money for him to be made.
Maybe. I just don't say it.
Okay.
Anyway. 2 year deal. I'm cool with that.
We'll see what the Flyers do. I want to lock him up for at least four, but that's just me. The only other restricted free agent on the NHL roster proper is Peter Mrazek. And I think you and I both agree that he's gone.
Yeah, I think everybody can agree on that.
He didn't do enough to earn it. And with the goaltender pipeline finally starting to come to fruition, I think it's time. There's no need to keep him.
Yeah, and it would cost you a third round to keep him.
Right, exactly. So it's he might be worth it as a standalone offer, right?
Like you right.
Just, if it was just him, but the fact that if you're re-signing him, it's also a third round pick, it's probably not worth it to me.
No, probably not. And we just didn't see enough from him. He just wasn't good.
Yep.
He was inconsistent. I mean, his first like week here was really good. It was terrific.
Yep.
And then he just, for whatever reason, went downhill. He was really inconsistent. He struggled. But so did all the goalies down the stretch. But
and it's funny because now the next section of this list is non-roster players, which means mostly guys in Lehigh Valley. And the first guy with an expiring contract on this list is Alex Lyon.
Okay.
And I would almost rather have Alex Lyon than Peter Mrazek, especially.
Yeah, I would.
Especially if Peter Mrazek means also giving up a third round pick.
Yeah, I'd probably do that too.
Right. So Alex Lyon.
Like, I don't see we would see either of them all that much. Like, right. Lyon, if we do sign him, I don't necessarily think we're going to see him that much next year.
He's going to be riding the bench for Carter Hart.
Next year?
Oh, yeah. I want Carter Hart getting 55 starts next year.
Oh, you're saying NHL. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't specify.
Oh, yeah. No. In Lehigh Valley, absolutely. Okay. Because you still have Neuwirth and Elliott locked up. I think he's going to be your backup in Lehigh Valley, but I also think he's going to be your injury call-up.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to put Carter Hart in Lehigh Valley, they're going to leave him there all year.
Right.
I think. Unless disaster strikes and everybody gets hurt again. I think Lyon's going to be your call-up. He's a good, solid backup. Even at the NHL level, he was fine He wasn't spectacular. Yeah. He was okay. He wasn't Henrik Lundqvist, but he was fine. Right?
Yeah.
I think they definitely re-sign him.
Probably
2 or 3 years, probably a two-way deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's something relatively cheap.
Yeah, because he's not going to get a one-way deal anywhere.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Samuel Morin's entry-level contract is up. This is his first time hitting free agency.
Yeah.
What do they do?
You're going to try to qualify him, I guess.
I mean, you can just qualify him.
Okay, yeah. I guess, I don't know, because I don't know where his role on this team is.
Right, that's the thing. You kind of have to look at your top six, and you're now down Manning and Oduya, which, you know, at the best of times, were your seventh and eighth defensemen. So, you know, them leaving doesn't really clear up a spot for Morin.
It doesn't.
No. Now, unless they're going to move Gudas, there's really not a spot for Morin in the NHL.
No. So, I mean, and the thing is, does he want a two-way deal? I mean, he might not have a choice.
I mean, you qualify him and there's no choice. I think he still has enough potential that they might qualify him and he might hit the free agent market and get an offer with a little bit of compensation. And I don't like it, but at the same time, and, you know, maybe you keep him because he's a good top pair AHL guy, and if there are injuries on your main roster, he can come up and be serviceable. So maybe you keep him. But I've said this. I've been really excited about Samuel Morin as a prospect for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, so has everybody else. He's a bust.
Right. And I said it on a show a couple weeks ago. If he's not an NHL player, which at this point it doesn't seem like the Flyers think he is. If he's not an NHL player, trade him before everybody else figures it out.
Right. And there really, I mean, like we said, there really is no room for him. And I still think they're going to go out and sign a free agent defenseman.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam Morin's kind of in limbo, like pretty bad here.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe he'll get a two-way deal. If you qualify him, great.
Right.
And nobody, bites, that's fine, whatever. But, or if you just sign him to a, two-way, 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah, and then we can kind of blow through these other couple.
The rest are just AHL players.
Anthony Stolarz is a restricted free agent.
I'd be fine letting him walk.
He's shown potential, but
be fine letting him walk.
He's quickly going to be outside the goalie system. Because, I mean, you have Elliott and Neuwirth and then Hart, and I would even put Lyon over him.
Yeah, and that injury scares me. I'd be fine letting him walk.
Yeah, I think Anthony Stolarz is going to hit free agency this year. Reese Wilcox has done some good stuff in Lehigh Valley, but I don't think he's an NHL player.
Nope.
Danik Martel.
AHL player. Move on.
See, that's the thing. I want to talk about him for a second.
Go for it.
Important precursor question. Do you think Morgan Frost makes the NHL roster next
No.
year? No. Okay. That's fine. I agree.
I think talent-wise, he looks like a great prospect.
Then I think Danik Martel kind of takes his spot on the fourth line. Or then takes Lear's spot on the fourth line.
Okay. Eh, maybe.
And, he's a good, quick little player, and he can put the puck in the net, and he's a good little player, and he's going to be a fourth line guy. He's never going to be a top six all-star player type of guy.
I'd almost rather Vecchione take that spot instead of Martel.
See, I don't like Vecchione. I think Vecchione's ceiling is much lower. That's just me personally. Maybe. I don't know that.
But for a fourth line, I don't know how high of a ceiling you really need.
Right.
I think right now, I think Vecchione's the better player.
Then, speaking of other potential fourth liners, Tyrell Goldborn is also expiring.
Yeah, you let him walk. I couldn't care less about Tyrell Goldborn.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to keep him just because he's going to be a good AHL player. And, yeah. You do have to put bodies on the ice in the AHL.
Right. Yeah, they'll keep him, but he's got no future in the NHL.
No, he came up this year and looked really, really good when he came up.
Yeah.
But he was only up for a game or two. So I think he's got potential, but I don't think he's ever going to be a mainstay on your NHL roster. So right. I think if you let him walk, it's not the end of the world. I think they're going to extend him, but it's not the end of the world. And then you have guys like, Colin McDonald and Dustin Tarski.
Yeah, that's a bunch of AHL players.
Some career AHL guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So that's pretty much everybody who's expiring in the Flyers system right now. For the first time in Ron Hextall's tenure as a GM, there's some money available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this is really honestly the first time he's going to have, you know, free reign is the term that's been thrown around this week in free agency. There are some big names out there, right? Tavares is out there. Carlson's out there. There are some really good players with 1 year left on their deal. So maybe there's some trades available.
Yep.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
John Tavares, come to Philly.
Yeah. See, I don't necessarily hate the idea. The problem is John Tavares is, rightfully so, going to want a lot of money.
Yes.
And I don't think...
Back the truck up to him.
Okay, but
give
also...
Give him whatever he wants.
A, that's not how Hextall does business.
I don't care.
Listen, I'm just telling you why it's not going to happen.
He makes his team a contender.
A, that's not how Ron Hextall does business. B, think about all the young Flyers players that we have right now still making $900K on their entry-level contracts.
Fine. I don't care.
Next offseason, you have to sign Provorov and Konechny.
Yep, Konechny's not going to... You know, get a ton of money.
The season after that, you have to sign Nolan Patrick.
Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
Where does that money come from?
What do you mean?
Like,
I mean, Simmons after next year is going to come off the books.
I agree.
I highly doubt they're going to re-sign him.
Do you think he comes off the books this summer?
It's possible.
Okay, I don't hate the idea.
You know, Voracek, I think, only has, you know, a few years left. So by the time he comes off, I'm
pretty sure you're wrong about that.
I think he has 3 years left, but. I mean, still, Giroux only has a few years left. So, I mean, there's money that's going to be had when these players like the Patricks, you know, have to come off.
Jakub Voracek is signed through 22-23.
Okay, so he's still got 4 or 5 years left.
He's got like 6 years left, yeah.
All right.
So he's nowhere near done.
No, he's not. But still, there's money to be had. I mean, Gudas is going to come off soon.
Right.
Andrew McDonald's going to come off soon. So there's money to be had.
I can't wait.
So there's money to be had. I mean, you know, next year you replace Andrew McDonald's contract for, say, a Provorov.
Yeah, if they end up not buying out Laterra, which Hextall has kind of hinted at the fact that they're not going to.
Yeah.
Then you better use a buyout spot next year on McDonald.
Well, next year his contract's over, isn't it?
No, he signed through 2 more seasons.
Okay.
So... This fall and then next fall.
But that contract is going to eventually come off the books. So there's money to be had,
yeah.
You know, down the line, you know, when the Patrick, you know, needs to get signed.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's enough there to re-sign those guys and also sign a John Tavares who's going to want $11 million a year.
Give it to him. Back the truck up right to his house, right to his front door.
I don't even disagree with you. That's the thing.
He instantly becomes the best player on this team.
And he's up there.
No, he becomes the best player on this team.
I think it's close.
And this team becomes a contender. Not just a playoff contender.
I don't disagree. I also think that John Tavares has some loyalty to the Islanders.
But the Islanders are a dumpster fire right now.
Listen, I understand. But I honestly think that his loyalty is deep enough that to go to a division rival, we'll have to overpay.
That's fine. Like I said, back the truck up to him.
And he's also going to want... This is his big, fat, stupid deal.
I don't care.
That you regret when he's 33 and regressing. He's going to want 7 years.
It's not my money. I don't care. I'm not paying him. It's not my money.
That kind of deal scares me for any player.
I don't care. It's not my money.
Okay. But it's your team.
Okay. They'll figure it out down the line. And maybe if they do sign him, I don't think they're going to, but you know, even if they do sign him, maybe in 5-6 years, I'm like, oh God, why did they sign him?
Right. Exactly.
I don't care. Now's the time. You know, we've seen this team is close. I think close to compete. I mean, they got absolutely dominated by Pittsburgh, but I think they're close. And I think Tavares puts them even closer.
Yeah. It's tough because like a big part of me wants to say, do it and to go all in and to make the run this year or next year. And the nice thing about John Tavares is he's not 32, right? You're not signing him and hoping to win this year or next year, or else I guess then you're stuck paying him. He's 26, 27.
Yeah.
Like you're getting 3 more years of absolute prime out of him. And part of me wants to say, go all in and do it. Put your money in the, let's go.
Yep.
Put your money where your mouth is. Let's go win a cup.
100%.
But it's really tough. I'm trying so hard not to just dive headfirst in.
Nope, I'm diving.
Because they're not going to do it, and I don't want to be disappointed.
I don't think they're going to do it either, but that's where
Like, listen, if July 1st comes and John Tavares doesn't have a deal with the Islanders, he's going to have offers from 30 other teams.
Yeah.
Because he's just, you can't not. This is the best free agent to hit the market in a long time.
Since Stamkos, who ended up staying. Yeah. But
he's the best free agent to hit the market in a long time. Every single team is going to at least inquire.
Yeah. It reminds me of the year that won, you know, Stamkos, which was last year. And then
2 years ago.
And then a few years back when Zach Parise and Ryan Suter both left their teams and went to Minnesota.
And by the way, Minnesota regrets those contracts.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
I don't think so. Minnesota was in the playoffs.
Yeah, sure. So were the Flyers.
Okay.
Without, you know, any atrocious contracts, unless you count Andrew McDonald.
They would have had a better shot to beat Pittsburgh if they had John Tavares on the team.
They're going to regret. They're already starting to regret Zach Parise's contract because he's getting old and he's getting injury prone. And Ryan Suter is not getting younger.
No, but he's still a productive player. He still would be the Flyers' best defenseman.
I understand, but I'm telling you, they're worried about it. Minnesota's worried about it.
Just imagine this first line of like a Giroux, Tavares, Voracek.
I would rather spread the wealth, and I would rather keep Giroux, Couturier, Konechny, and then have John Tavares as your second line center.
I want Tavares to have the most ice time on the team.
No.
He's a better player than Sean Couturier.
Fine.
And it's not even close.
Fine. Then move that whole first line down to your second line, and your first line is Tavares centering Voracek and whoever. It doesn't even matter. Wayne Simmons, if he's still here.
The third line would be really good. And it's important to have depth. You would have Nolan Patrick, Oscar Lindblom, and say, Scott Laughton or Jordan Weal.
How about that as a first line? Lindblom, Tavares, Voracek. How does that sound?
Maybe.
How does that sound?
Maybe. We still need to see a little bit more from Lindblom, but it's early.
I don't want to put Nolan Patrick on the third line.
Why?
Because I want him to be a first line center before he's a third line center again.
He might be eventually.
But if you sign John Tavares, he's never going to be a first line center over John Tavares. He's just not going to do it.
Okay. It's better for the team then.
I don't like it.
Why?
Because it's not good for the future. And yes, I understand it's good for now. But I also think that if the current team continues growing, then that's also good for now.
Okay. But what's the future, though? Listen, I mean, Tavares, because it's safe to say the future's 5 years, listen, right?
I think
Tavares is still going to be good in 5 years.
I think the Flyers are a contender this fall.
A contender?
Yeah.
For what?
The Cup.
This fall? Without making any moves?
Without any significant moves. If you sign a middle six guy, some cheap...
Contender for the Cup.
Yeah. Because I think
disagree with you 100%.
This year, Nolan Patrick struggled until January.
Okay.
Oscar Lindblom didn't even make the NHL team until March. You had a very young team this year. You had a lot of rookies. You had Hag and Sanheim regularly in the lineup on defense. And they both got better as the season went on. I think this team, with one full offseason, is going to come back very, very good this fall.
They barely made the playoffs when guys like Giroux, Couturier, Voracek, Gostisbehere, all of them had career years, you know, seasons that nobody would have expected them to have, and they barely made the playoffs.
I understand.
Barely.
I understand. But again, you also only had 3 good months of Nolan Patrick. You only had a good month and a half of Oscar Lindblom. Robert Hag and Travis Sanheim kept taking each other's place in the press box.
Now, listen,
we're going to be fine.
I don't.
This team is going to be good this year.
Okay, I don't want to be fine. You want to be great.
Team is very good this year. I think if the Flyers...
They're another bubble team if they don't make a move.
If the Flyers show up to training camp, as is, without any major additions, right? You re-sign your restricted free agents.
They're another bubble team.
You don't make any major additions. I think you're in the conference finals next year.
I disagree 100%. And if they don't make any moves, I'll make that bet right now.
Okay.
Because there's no chance.
We'll talk about that training camp.
Everybody in their division's getting better.
That's whatever. No, the Rangers aren't, to be fair.
Okay, fine. The Rangers are atrocious. Carolina, who was a bubble team this year, has a second overall pick in the draft. They'll probably get a
Svechnikov,
probably, or Zadina.
Honestly, that's probably better for them than getting number one, because their defensive core is absolutely stacked.
Yeah, maybe.
And if you have the number one pick, you have to take Dahlin.
Yeah.
But their defensive core is so stacked in the prospect pool that they probably needed a winger more.
Oh, yeah, they definitely need forwards. It's
probably better for them that they didn't get number one.
Right, but, I mean, their division seems like they're getting, you know, better. So you make the move for John Tavares, and I don't think they're going to.
By the way, real quick news since we mentioned the draft. The Flyers are keeping St. Louis's pick this year. It's not being retained to next year. It's the 14th pick in the draft, so the Flyers have number 14 and also number 19.
Yep.
So, just friendly reminder that the...
I think they'll package those together and try to move up.
Friendly reminder that Chenfer Letaro was not one for one.
Nobody said it was.
Because we've already mentioned Morgan Frost this year, too. This episode.
Do you think they package those picks together and try to trade up to the top?
I would love that.
Yeah? And try to get who?
I don't know. They're not going to get all the way up to, like, Zadina.
Probably not.
Okay. No. I'm not... I don't know that this is what they're going to do. But do you offer the number three pick? Who is that?
Who is the number three pick?
Yeah, it's Buffalo, Carolina, Montreal.
Yeah.
Do you offer Montreal Wayne Simmons, number 14 and number 19, for that number three pick to get Zadina? Or Svechnikov, whoever Carolina doesn't take.
Probably. I even like Wahlstrom, too.
Right. But I'm saying, like, Montreal might actually take that deal because they need bodies. And then Wayne Simmons is also on a pretty good deal, so he's not going to cap string him. It's one more year. Montreal is demanding a quick turnaround. They don't ever suck for 2 years in a row.
Right.
Like, that's just not how that city works.
Right. Maybe.
I mean, I don't think they're going to do it because trades like that just don't happen.
It might. Nowadays, blockbusters happen more often. But
you vaguely said that you wouldn't be upset with them getting rid of Wayne Simmons.
No, not at all.
But I think that deal is great for both teams.
I think so. But, I mean, we clearly saw a hindered Wayne Simmons, which, speaking of, let's just jump into that.
Oh, man.
Let's just jump into it because he single-handedly hurt this team by not coming out of the lineup. Like, I understand he wants to be Mr. Tough Guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He wants to be Mr. Tough Guy. He wants to play all 82. I think he ended up missing eight. But
seven.
Was it seven? I thought it was eight. But he tore his pelvis in training camp.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta.
Camp. It would have taken 4 to 6 weeks to heal.
You gotta go get the surgery.
Okay. Take the 4 to 6 weeks to heal and then come back at 100% instead of playing, you know, 50% for, you know, the whole season.
That led to the hamstring injuries and the ankle injuries. And he definitely hurt himself because he was overcompensating for the torn pelvis.
And then, I mean, instead of having a 50% Wayne Simmons, we could have had 100% Oscar Lindblom at the beginning of the season, who was NHL ready.
That's fair.
Okay.
No, so I don't disagree with you.
It's just such a baffling decision. Like, if it happens in March or April, I get it.
Right.
You know, you don't have much time. You're fighting for a playoff spot. You're trying to do things in the playoffs, whatever. I get it. But it happened in August or September.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. And I understand he wants to be Mr. Tough Guy, and that's the reputation that he's built. But sometimes it's better to be smart than be a jackass and a tough guy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Okay, that was my rant about Wayne Simmons.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same thing that everybody said.
But, and I mean, Mike. Like I said, I mean, it turned out to be sort of correct on like the first or second episode of the show. I did say Wayne Simmons was replaceable. Just saying, it kind of looks that way.
I mean, and I also said that he was probably fighting through something on the third or fourth episode.
He clearly was.
Right.
But so, until we see Wayne Simmons again, he's replaceable. So, yes, I would probably do that deal.
Okay, well, listen, we talked about the Flyers showing up at training camp, the exact same roster. Wayne Simmons is 100% healthy at that point.
Maybe.
This team is much better with a healthy Wayne Simmons all year.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe, you know, we don't know. But we'll see what the Flyers do.
Yeah.
You know, the draft is in a couple of weeks. The playoffs are running. Let's do a quick little update to our little bracket challenge we got going on. Now, Ben hasn't updated the spreadsheet yet with the results.
He's slacking over there.
With the results of Sunday's games. Nashville and Winnipeg is now 1-1?
1-1 if they're crazy double overtime game.
Right.
Winnipeg had 50 shots.
Yep. Ben, Mike, and myself all have Nashville in that series. Ben has him in 5. Mike has him in 6. And I have him in 7.
Yep. Tied 1-1. Heading back to Winnipeg.
Yep. Tampa Boston is 1-0 in Boston's favor at time of recording on Monday.
Yeah, they do play tonight on Monday.
Yep. Ben and myself both have Tampa in 6. Mike has Boston in 6. So turns out Boston's up a game and that's looking pretty decent.
Yeah. And they won 6-2. I mean, that was a rout.
Right. Well, I mean, one was an empty netter, and there were a couple late goals.
The game
kind of fell apart. It was some junk time.
Yeah.
It was probably like a 4-2 game in reality. Pittsburgh and Washington has potential to be a really good series right now.
Yeah. The Washington's playing them really well.
Yeah, they're tied 1-1. Mike and myself both have Pittsburgh in 5. Ben actually has Washington in 7.
Does he really?
Yeah. So if it's a long series, you and I are both going to get a little nervous.
They're playing them really well.
There.
They were up. I mean, in game 1, they were up 2-0 into the third, and then you know the wheels fall off, and they give up 3 quick goals, and then lose 3-2.
Yep.
And then game 2, they won 4-1, where the game really wasn't in doubt.
Right.
I mean, Holtby looks locked in. He looks like the old Holtby.
Yeah, we'll see.
Which makes starting Grubauer in the first series even more bizarre.
But we all know Washington has that reputation.
Yep.
That choker's reputation. They've already shown it in one game this year, in this series. I don't know, man. I have a hard time picking Washington out of that one. But they have looked good through the first two games.
They look really good.
And then Vegas lost a playoff game.
Are you
okay? Like, are you mentally okay with that?
The NHL is trying to rig this thing, and I don't appreciate it.
Oh, so now it's a conspiracy theory Vegas didn't sweep.
Yeah, because in my opinion, that should have been a goal in overtime that the Knights scored. The fact that they waved it off, I think, was a little sketch.
The NHL has no idea what goalie interference is.
A little sketch. Yeah, it's turned into the NFL. Like, what is a catch?
No, it's atrocious.
So I didn't agree with that. And then, the Sharks end up scoring and winning the game. But I'm just saying the Knights should have won. It should be 2-0 Knights.
Ben and I both have Vegas in 6. You had Vegas in 4, so that's obviously out.
That's obviously out.
But Ben and I are still in line for the bonus points. And again, you can follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast to find our predictions. And Ben's doing a pretty good job of updating every other day or so, which is all you can ask out of
them. It's going to be Knights in 5. They're not winning. They're not losing again.
They're not losing again.
No, they got screwed over again, and they are going to try their hardest to not be damned again.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
So that's going to do it for the show.
Marc-Andre Fleury looks like an absolute Hall of Famer, an absolute stud, the best goalie of all time in the series.
He does. If they go all the way and get a ring, that'll be his 4th ring, which is absurd. Although he was only really on the ice for 2.5 of them, but whatever. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's show. You can find us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and last word on sports.com.
That is a mouthful.
Yeah. Now I am off to see Infinity War, and you guys have a good week.
You really looked that up?